scoop for Sunday?
Well, the scoop for Sunday is the big news is that the Hasbro design panel.
Okay.
First, we had some better looks at some of the stuff we'd seen yesterday. Something that was the better look was that they gave us an unpainted shot, and some of it was that they gave us a painted shot. Of course, we couldn't get any pics out of those panels, but it was nice to see some of the things like you got a better look at how the animated figures are going to work. Some of the stuff I was excited to see was stuff like Ratchet will still be able to use the EMP blaster from Lockdown. The Lockdown movie figure, conversely, has an EMP figure, EMP blaster arm edition that will kind of go with the Ratchet from the movie line. They're like continuing that rivalry from animated into the movie line. One of the really interesting things I thought about this new set of toys that's come out is there's animated Blackout, who is really the first hardcore movie-only character to move into animated. And then we have Lockdown, who's the first hardcore animated-only character to move into, the broader Transformers universe and into the movie especially.
Right.
And we get to see Lockdown's color scheme, which looks a lot like his animated thing. The big toy news in the panel was we got a sketch, just a sketch of Drift, but it's one of the first things we've heard out of Hasbro in a long time that says they are going to make a Drift figure,
okay,
of some variety. So we don't have anything concrete on that. A sketch doesn't usually mean much, but they went out of their way to show it to us, so I think that's kind of qualifies as an announcement, at least, of the intention.
Right, right.
It was of his Earth mode. The other big news was a leader class Starscream, which we didn't see painted, but looks to be a very large and cool figure. I'm not personally a big fan of that design, but it is a really nice rendition of it. There's no two ways about that, and I'm sure that'll be exciting for a lot of people.
Leader class Starscream for Revenge of the Fallen?
Yep, leader class, Revenge of the Fallen Starscream.
Gotcha.
That's probably something we'll see, in 2010. Then they actually didn't have a Q&A for the designers. Aaron Archer came in and introduced Tyrese Gibson, who came in and he's a good promoter. He came in and talked the movie up a whole bunch, and couldn't say nice enough things about Shia LaBeouf and about Michael Bay, and he took about 10 questions. Which consisted of hugging four people and taking five pictures.
What was the question? Can I get a hug picture with you? Was one of the questions.
There was literally that was someone's question, was can I get a hug and a picture? And they got up and got it. I think. I mean, that it was about that blatant. They said it was because he was their wife's favorite actor or something.
Gotcha.
And she was a little creepy, but it wasn't the only creepy moment during the thing. But he was really good natured about it, and he was a really consummate showman.
Gotcha.
He came up there and he knew what to do on stage, knew what to say, and be interesting. And it was a surprise visit. And then I actually went to the Hasbro booth for a while in the dealer room and then signed autographs for a while as well. And then afterwards, new to the cases day, they added some stuff yesterday from yesterday's presentation, but today what they had in there, they had the animated figures that they had been talking about, with the exception of the Prime and the Waspinator colored Bumblebee.
Right.
They had the Ratchet in there, which looks really cool. They had RC in there.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now. Mm-hmm. It's got the Cybertronia Ratchet, the mm-hmm. Water Bumblebee, Hydro Drive Bumblebee, or whatever, and RC.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else? And the various repaints of the, Grimlock.
Yeah, well, one of the most, they didn't have Blackout in there, but the Hot Rod looks phenomenal. It looks much better than, the picture they showed us in the panel was a little hard to tell if they'd done the coloration right or if there was something going on, but the hot rod that was in that case was unbelievably good.
Yeah, hot rod.
It had extremely G1 alt mode, and its face is clearly kind of molded to look like Jed Nelson. And it's a fun toy. I can't wait to get my hands on one of those. And you know, one thing that, I don't know if anyone said this about the Bumblebee, is that it is not like the Bumblebee they released before. It is at a smaller scale to fit within that mechanism, the little Hydra thing. So what's also kind of cool about that, which they said they were thinking about when they designed it, was it will be a Bumblebee that is more in scale with the other figures that have already been produced.
Right.
So because some people complained about that, Bumblebee is like taller than Prowl as it stands now, the deluxe Bumblebee.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's kind of a nice thing. There's a lot of forethought in these toys, which is, I think, what's always been really great. The reason we're getting an Ironhide is because the designers had the forethought to say, well, we send this to them to do the molds at Takara. Let's tell them to do an Ironhide head at the same time they do a Ratchet head. Do it later, do it now. Make two heads.
Right.
And so that Ironhide is, you know, practically guaranteed, which is, you know, as it should be, honestly. But that's you know, that's good news. And there was a new Ironhide out there. Yeah, they haven't painted one of those up yet. But those toys look great. Those toys really look great. I'm really looking forward to those. They had the Skywarp out there, the Masterpiece Skywarp. They seem to have them in vehicle mode the whole time. They did not have the Bludgeon out there. It was kind of sad. They didn't have it out there. There were some figures they clearly only had one of because they had them in vehicle mode at the start of the day.
Right.
And then transformed them later on. And I managed to get a few of those. One of the cooler ones of those being Hardhead. And he's kind of more of his IDW incarnation. But he looked really good, I thought.
Cool. So any other news from any of the panels yet? Anything groundbreaking?
No, that was the last big panel. I mean, the other panels were, there was one on cosplay, which was just kind of a how-to. And there was one with some G1 writers. But there was, you know, there's no news there. There's nothing really yet. There was, you know, that. Okay. On anybody's mind. But, you know, the show seemed fun. People seemed to be having a good time. You know, what I would say is the big news to report on the show overall that I was really noticing today, and especially with the general audience, is just how many kids there were.
Really?
This show was full of kids, absolutely full of kids, which is, you know, it was really actually kind of exciting. It was, I'm a parent, and I kept, you know, kind of looking wistfully at people walking around with their younger kids who were really excited about Transformers, and it's an interesting thing. You know, the dynamic here is, you know, these kids have parents who are fans a lot of the time. So it's like this really reciprocal thing. And you could just see like a dad with a 5-year-old and they both like had the same glee in their eye looking at some new toy or something they were going to get or playing with a new set that they had bought from the dealer. And it's kind of wild to see the franchise evolve into that as the fans get older. You know, I'm sure there were people before who were having that experience whose parents got into it when they were older, but now that, you know, I mean, I was like, I guess, 4 when Transformers first came out. Now, you know, everyone from that age, like, we're getting to be, you know, we are parents now. And,
so you would say that basically a lot of what the parents' interests have started to transcend down into the kids at this stage.
Yeah. Well, I think some of it's mutual interest too. You know, when you're a kid, sometimes what you're into is kind of your interests are formed by your parents. It's hard to say, like, you know, which kid is there because their parents are a trans fan or vice versa.
Right.
But that's all part of the dynamic of it. It's really kind of a wild thing to see. And I note it because, you know, I also experienced it in my own household.
Right.
You know, with my own children. So
are your own kids getting into Transformers at this stage of the game?
Well, my daughter is. She's, you know, she's 3, but she can, you know, she can name probably 2 dozen Transformers in various universes on site. If we put her hair into two little things off the side of her head, she calls it sorry hair. I've always been really disappointed they didn't make like a life-size sorry key, because she'll improvise one and she'll run around our house and touching them on our knee or on something in the room and go, I'm fixing you. I'm fixing you. I got her kind of a toy I'm not entirely sure she can play with freely, because it's sort of that like knockoff sorry toy.
Right.
You know, the trouble being, you know, the paint I'm sure is full of like instant death. Well, I'm not that worried about her purring in her mouth. Her little brother will be severely at risk from those, I'm sure.
Gotcha.
You know, it's funny, on a note about those and one of the Hasbro panels yesterday's, they were really down about a lot of those fan project kind of things. And I think what it really is that some of the knockoffs of the dealer room were really good. Like, for instance, the Metroplex. And there was just 1,000 of them. Right. And I think when people made things like the Quintessons or Spike, and Hasbro looked at them and said, we're never going to make that. We don't care. You know, fine. But I think this year, it's certainly the first time I've seen in a dealer room just stacks and stacks of really nice knockoffs of stuff Hasbro and Takara do make.
So how do you know that they're knockoffs?
Well, they tell you. They just about have to. Because right. Besides like a little sticker, the lack of the word Takara being on the package, I mean, like, the Metroplexes look like G1 packaging with, you know, I don't know if it was Chinese or Korean or Japanese. I'm not versed enough to tell you at a glance, but, you know, with that kind of writing on it. And there were, I mean, if I saw that box sitting in front of me and somebody told me it was a real, you know, it was a reissue, I doubted it, you know, without some kind of inspection.
Right.
It looks like they're reissue boxes. So I think that was kind of getting to Hasbro. It has it before. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some kind of action on that in the next year or at the next BotCon. What they said about it too is that, you know, they'd really been trying to counter that at the source level. They didn't really want to come down on dealers and fans. That really wasn't what they were trying to do.
Right.
But they were stressing that that's what they hadn't been. Where a lot of that was past tense, like. So there was sort of the implication in the future we might, you know, see, you know, the Hasbro police come down on dealers and that kind of thing.
Right,
like, you can't
right.
sell that. You can't. You cannot distribute this toy. It's not your. It is not the intellectual property of whoever sold it to you, and you can't. But,
well, I have a feeling. Yeah, that was gonna. I think they're getting to the point now where some of the various fans project stuff are producing stuff that they either want to maybe do themselves or just have decided that it's not a good idea for someone else to be producing stuff for their toys
right.
besides
well,
them.
I think there's a legal precedent, too, to my understanding. You do have to defend your intellectual property to continue to own it.
Right.
Just let people run wild with it. Eventually, you lose the way to tell people to stop.
Right.
So, I think Hasbro said, like, you know, word for word, they've really gone too far. And I think the writing's really on the wall in that statement. They seemed very serious about that. Like, that was not like off the cuff comment. That was, I think we're going to see some action on that. So,
right.
Cool.
What anything else to report from BotCon?
No, you know, generally a good time. I think people enjoyed it. The Party of Paramount thing, I unfortunately did not get to attend. They had a, you know, they had roughly 10 minutes of the movie was shown.
Right.
With footage that was noted not to be final. And I'll give a spoiler warning here. Spoilers. There is a scene with Devastator, and there was a scene with Bumblebee being fast, and that's pretty much what the word is about that.
Right.
With some character death in them. So, you know, end of spoilers. That I didn't see them. I can't properly spoil it anyway, but that's what it was.
Cool.
Peter Cullen was at the event. Weird Al was at the event. Tyrese Gibson drove up in Ratchet with the lights on and everything. You know, and apparently the food was phenomenal. that was the word. So, and that was the deal.
Awesome.
Besides that, you know, it's all just closing up now. We're all getting ready to go out, get out of here. I'm just uploading the last of the stuff of what I'm going to be from here, and then I'll get on a plane and be back to being plain old Ender back home and doing my job as usual.
All right. Well, I've been talking to Ender. He's been reporting somewhat live from the 2009 BotCon and the wrap-up day on Sunday. And Ender, safe travels back home, my friend.
Thank you very much. And thanks to you as always.